Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You hear Karen Conti on with Steve Cochran a lot. You may have seen her on Fox TV a few minutes ago with Conti Law, a regular here at WGN Radio, and an attorney who is expert on many things. Karen, thanks for popping in.
Great to see you, John.
What's your headline on the OJ release?
The juice is loose. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
I didn't actually mean that literally, but I guess, yes, that would be a good headline.
Spoiler alert.
We will see that in a paper later today, I'm sure.
Yes, that and other things. You know, it wasn't surprising, really. If you looked at what they had to consider, there were these factors that are set forth on a worksheet. You can find it online. It's all public record. So if you check the boxes and you see that he didn't have any infractions while in jail, he didn't have any convictions prior to this one, which is kind of strange, but he didn't. And, you know, he's been a model prisoner. I mean, he was on the top of the list to be let out, and he was.
So whatever you think of OJ and the fact that he was not convicted in a criminal court, this was an easy one, it sounds like.
It was an easy one. And you have to also consider the backdrop here. In Nevada, the court system is really overworked, and the prison system is really overworked. Probably one of the most crowded prison systems. So there is a lot of pressure to get people out, especially people who are not going to commit crimes again. And I think this group of commissioners made that determination that he had learned his lesson and that he is not going to be a person that recommits a crime.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to murder anybody again because that seems to be a one-off.
That's right.
And I'll bet people always disappoint me, but I'll bet he's not dumb enough to commit another crime now for which he'll go back to jail.
Well, one of the things that was interesting, one of the commissioners, they all voted, and they all, we probably all watched it, but one of them said, listen, you know, there's going to be some parole qualifications here. You know, you can't drink, you can't do drugs, you can't go to bars, the government can come in and search your property. So those are, and kind of admonished him that if you even have a slight violation of one of these rules, you could be back here in Nevada. And I think that was sort of a concern of at least that one commissioner, and a concern of mine, because a person who doesn't follow the rules in society, the sociopathic people who don't think that the rules apply to them, tend not to think that any rules apply to them. And I got some concerns that he's going to do that.
When that happens, if you violate the terms of your parole, in his case, he's got 26 more years. Do you go back for all 26 then, or how does that go?
Not necessarily. And in Nevada, because it was a 33-year sentence, you get...
33. I was thinking, yeah.
It was 33, but what happens is they give you time day for day for good behavior. So it's really more than like half of that. Mm-hmm. So that would be the max that he would serve. And it would be, you know, depending on what kind of violation it was. But believe me, there are going to be people who are going to be watching him. There are going to be people provoking him. You know, there's going to be issues of driving and him walking in public. And I can see that someone might just want to provoke him to throw him back in jail.
Yeah, I suppose the Browns are going to send him a text saying, hey, do you want to trade baseball cards just to see if they can get him in trouble? I wonder how they feel about this.
Yeah, I heard one of the sisters was on the Fox National Network, and she was actually pretty upbeat. She said, you know, I have to live with it. It's what the law is, and I'm going to have to live with it. I think that sometimes victims' families... And I wouldn't have any idea how I would react. So I'm just speaking just from watching victims in general, is that some of them follow the case and they put their whole heart into making sure that person's in jail. And I find that they don't let it go. And some victims walk away and say, you know what? Let him rot. I don't care. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to let him dictate it. So, you know, I think people do what they think is healthy for themselves.
What's your take on the conviction and the sentence that he did get for this violation? I mean... Was it sort of retribution for not being convicted for Simpson and Nicole Brown and Goldman's murder?
I do. I think it was just way upcharged. I mean, he went into a hotel room that someone else let him into. He didn't have a gun. His friends had a gun. He took his stuff, basically, that was his, that was stolen. Not that you know, exonerates him, but to get 9 years for that, and 9 years is a long time, and people think that's nothing. It seems like he just went to jail in some, in our minds, but 9 years is an eternity. I mean, he's turned into an old man in jail. So, yeah, I think he got sentenced way more than he should have.
Boy, you think about the timeline of his life. He was, nobody had a better first half and a worse second half.
That's true.
I mean, and, you know, it pivots on that one night. And, you know, I'm getting texts from people saying he should still be in jail. I mean, this is ridiculous.
But for the that first crime that he got acquitted of, you know, I mean, you know, you're right. I think karma got him. I think prosecutors got him. I think I was actually a little bit concerned, you know, that the commissioners were going to take that into account. But during the whole parole hearing, one of the commissioners said, we got a bunch of letters here, you know, pulled out a stack of letters and said a lot of them were against you because of your the criminal acquittal and because of the civil verdict. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to consider that, made it very clear. And the reason is that on that worksheet that they're supposed to be following, there's nothing that says $33 million verdict, you can hold that against him, or an acquittal of a case that, you know, maybe he did do the crime. So they didn't consider any of that.
The $33 million is the amount that the Goldmans won in a civil case 2 years after he was acquitted of the murder. Whatever happened to that?
Well, I think they collected a little bit of it here and there, but largely it's uncollected, and it's probably accumulating great interest, and they'll probably never collect it.
Sure.
You know, and his pension, which is substantial from the NFL, is protected under ERISA, under the federal laws.
And he gets his house, too?
And he gets his house because under the Florida homestead laws, that's the strongest laws in the nation on asset protection, so he's living in the right place, probably on purpose. So I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be getting his pension. He'll be living in a nice house, and we're going to see him out on the golf course.
Well, we can't go back and recharge him for the murders. So do you suppose then if he goes out and has a nice life, we should not concern ourselves? There's no more reason to be angry at or about O.J. Simpson then?
I don't know. You know, you can't change him. He is what he is. What happened, happened. I hope he doesn't hurt anybody else. I hope he doesn't hurt any other women. I would think that if there was going to be something that he did, it would be against a woman because he had a history of it. And actually, when he was out in between the two cases, he actually had a domestic violence incident.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't think it resulted in any charges being brought, but there was an incident that was reported by the local newspapers down there. I think we should be wary. I think we should be concerned, but I think we should move on with our lives. It was an interesting 23 or 24 years.
Yeah, what a soap opera.
What a soap opera.
You know, I was looking at the timeline of that trial, and it lasted over a year, obviously, and there were just so many famous turning points, pieces of testimony, et cetera.
And it's changed the court system. I mean, I think jurors are skeptical unless they see DNA, and even when they see DNA, they're skeptical. I think it's changed the whole tenor of jury selection, theatrics in the courtroom. I think people are more wary of the court system. And it's been a real substantial change in the way we look at our whole justice system.
Thanks for coming in. When are you on with Steve again?
On with Steve on Wednesday mornings at about 6:40. And then I'm on with Brian Noonan on Sundays from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I sure appreciate you coming
Good
by
to
today.
See you,
Karen
John.
Conti from Conti Law. It's 2:31 on WGN.